And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is that hour of the week where Dr. Kelly Victory and Steve Houth both, join us. Let me get them both up here on the line. Dr. Kelly, welcome. How are you?
Great, thanks. I always look forward to these conversations.
I appreciate you joining us. Steve Houth as well. Welcome. Thanks. How are you this week?
I'm good, John. I'm glad I sold my Facebook stock a long time ago.
Now we're going to talk right, that segues right into it. So Dr. Kelly, you have an announcement because I guess the Twitter folks don't like you too well.
Well, this was my third and apparently final banishment from Twitter.
You evil doctor, you.
Well, what I'm actually thrilled to report, very honestly, and we can get into the whole censorship issue, is that the third time I was censored was again for posting something that was irrefutable fact, something that is absolutely in the public record and easy for certainly the, quote, fact checkers from Twitter to have verified. So it wasn't an issue of my posting an opinion on something or something inflammatory. It was simply this particular time was for posting sworn testimony from three military physicians. And I simply posted the link to that testimony, and that was enough to get me banished for good. I could certainly appeal it, John, but at this point, yeah. I truly, and many people have asked me to, why
bother?
Why would you appeal to be on a platform that is engaging in pure censorship and is nothing more at this point than propaganda?
Steve, this goes along with what you just talked about a moment ago. For all of you listening, by the way, it was announced just today, I believe, that for the first time ever, the Facebook followers or views, I should say, on their platform has gone down. And it actually sent the stock way, way, way down, Steve. In fact, Zuckerberg's value has dropped significantly in one day. And I predicted some of this not that long ago because I really feel like this business of not only censorship but putting up on the platform what you want and what you don't want, frankly, being an editor, is finally now starting to cost him. And I don't think Twitter's much behind this.
Yeah, I mean, at some point in time, we're going to realize these are actually media companies.
That's right.
Not bulletin boards. They need to be subject to media rules. And the censorship process, I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous, where, people from Al-Qaeda can post incredibly bad stuff, yet you cannot post something like Kelly did, which was, sworn testimony or an article about, what's really going on. They're not interested in the truth. They're only interested in hearing their agenda, and that's it.
Right. Yeah, they're pushing a mantra, an agenda, a view, if you would, that fits their narrative only, and anybody that counters that, they are quick to just diminish it. I mean, guys, I know this sounds – I know people don't like me saying this. I know it sounds outlandish, and Charlie and I had this conversation the other day that anytime you compare something to, what happened in Nazi Germany, that you can get in trouble for doing so. But, guys – what we're encountering right now is exactly what brought Germany to its knees, with the Holocaust, because this is what started it all. Am I right in saying that, Steve?
Well, I think there's that, John. I think you are right. But I think the other thing people miss, and I had this conversation yesterday with people, is that what Joseph Goebbels did with propaganda was he convinced a certain set of the population that they were victims and that they had the right to force other citizens who were not following the process to adhere or bend their will, right? So we have citizens doing the work of the government because the government uses propaganda to make those citizens angry and fearful. Then you have a very, very bad situation. And you can say that's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And again, Dr. Kelly, producer Ann, just texted a minute ago and said, well, this is just a badge of honor for Dr. Kelly, so don't worry about it. And really, it is, because what it says, Dr. Kelly, is you're really putting out factual things that the other side doesn't like, so much so they're banning you from the platform. That's what it amounts to.
Well, there's no question, and I appreciate the sentiment. I have told people I'm wearing this suspension like a corsage. I really do think of it as a badge of honor, because if you use the military adage, you take the most flack when you're directly over the target.
That's right.
And there's no question. I had previously been banned from Facebook and YouTube for posting things earlier in the pandemic. And I, truly, although I take no great joy in being right about these things, the reality is every single thing that I posted and said has borne out to be true.
Yep.
Everything from the lab leak to the idea that masks don't work and that the vaccines would fail to actually prevent people from contracting COVID. All of those things have been borne out, yet there's no retraction of their statement that these things were misinformation. I think related to your comment about this being akin to what happened in Nazi Germany, I think it is for exactly the reasons that Steve pointed out. The use of propaganda to empower citizens to actually do the work of the government,
right,
to align them against a common, quote, foe, whether that foe is the Jews, that foe is black people, or that foe is a microscopic virus, the results are the same. You get people to act in ways that they otherwise would not if they were going based on their own sense of morals or ethics. But the government gets people ginned up,
yep.
And at this point, the foes are people who won't wear a mask or who won't get vaccinated, and people are acting in ways that are absolutely vile to their fellow man because of the misinformation,
right,
the propaganda that is being provided to them by the government.
Folks, if you want to ask Kelly, Dr. Kelly, a specific question, or Steve, for that matter, really, just text us. We say this all the time, but I should have said that earlier, 307-200-8222. Again, 307-200-8222. Ask us the question, and I'll get it up here with Steve and Dr. Kelly both. Okay, Dr. Kelly, back to you. We know, and Steve, you can chime in on this after we talk to Dr. Kelly, but we know from the factual evidence now that, again, everything you've said has been true. Masks aren't doing anything. They haven't done anything all along. There's zero effect, if you would, on the transmission of COVID and the mortality rate as well. We know as a fact, one thing you didn't say is that we also know that the vaccines not only did everything you said, but even weakened folks' immune system to where now we've got the vaccinated coming down with COVID at a far higher rate than those that are unvaccinated, and yet the news media will not admit any of what I just said, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and I predicted that as well. I said that what we are going to see with these vaccines, because they are non-sterilizing vaccines, they're very different from the other vaccines that we normally talk about, whether that's chickenpox or measles, mumps, hepatitis, any of those. These vaccines were totally different from the beginning. It was entirely predictable that they, number one, would not stop people from contracting COVID, and that, number two, in all likelihood, they would end up suppressing the immune system, not only, John, so that these people are at higher risk for contracting COVID, but actually, and more importantly, one of the functions of the immune system is not just to fight off bacteria and viruses and fungi, but it's also to rid the body of cells that have turned cancerous, or what we call neoplastic. One of the reasons we don't all succumb to cancers is because a healthy immune system sees a cell that has turned cancerous, and it eliminates that cell before it ever turns into a fulminant cancer. Once you suppress the immune system, I guarantee we will not only see this event of vaccinated people being at higher risk for COVID and other infections, but you are going to see a massive uptick in certain cancers, specifically bloodborne cancers like leukemias and multiple myeloma and those sorts of things.
Steve, you sent something to Dr. Kelly and I both talking about, you know, President Biden and his, you know, and this is on, by the way, the White House website now. I did go and check this out, to where he, you know, basically is making this, they call it the cancer moonshot to end cancer. So what you sent out is exactly the case. And he's basically wanting to promote more mRNA treatment, I guess you could say, in a way to end cancer. What are your thoughts there? And I'll get Dr. Kelly to follow up as well.
Before I do that, John, I wanted to add one other thing to what Kelly
was
saying and what you guys were talking about, and that is that today is the day the military started to terminate active duty personnel for not being vaccinated. We've also seen a couple of cases, at least this week, where veterans were denied transplant surgery because they were not vaccinated by hospitals. Hospitals who say, you know, it's our understanding that the standard of care for medicine is for you to get a transplant, you need to be vaccinated. However, I know Kelly knows this, and I've seen it in my years in healthcare, is that you'll find somebody who's been, you know, had transplants for, you know, lungs, livers, whatever, 2 days later holding onto an IV pole, smoking cigarettes out in the parking lot.
Right.
You know, there's no requirement that you actually be healthy or have healthy behaviors, yet a vaccine that we know doesn't work is now a requirement to save your life for a kidney transplant. I think that's absolutely ridiculous as part of the process. And then, of course, the story about Biden talking about mRNA. I mean, we shared some thoughts today or this week about the idea that this may have been part of the plan all along. I think Fauci always wanted some sort of a universal vaccine delivery process. And the best way to splice the gene, of course, is to put a splice gene on a virus and put that virus in your cells, because then it will actually take over the cell and make the change. I'm just concerned about how far they're going to go with this mRNA, and was this the plan all along?
Yeah. And Dr. Kelly, what are your thoughts there? Because I had heard, and I think we'd even talked about this, Steve, you and I, you know, long before this thing really got off the ground and got rolling and talking about the mRNA vaccines clear back, you know, when it started. In fact, even before my brother passed away, he and I had talked about this some, because he had heard some of that in his, you know, he was in some of the trials for his cancer treatment at MD Anderson, Dr. Kelly, and they were talking about some of that even back then when he was still alive, and this was well over, you know, a year plus ago. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, there's no question in my mind that one of the goals of this particular COVID vaccination program was to mainstream the concept of mRNA vaccines, mRNA delivery systems, is
right,
more an accurate
right.
way
That's
to say
a better
say
way to say it,
it
yes.
To get mRNA to be a household word. The idea that Biden is talking about is laughable. I mean, you're talking about a guy who doesn't know which end of the fork to use. He certainly doesn't understand anything about vaccinations or mRNA technology, but he is the mouthpiece for this.
Right.
This absolutely was the goal of everybody from Fauci to Gates, and others, to develop a way to deliver all kinds of things into the cell that could be cancer treatments. It could be all other, lots of different kinds of therapies, because it's not just the mRNA component, it's the lipid nanoparticle component. All cells of the body, the cell membranes, are made up of lipid nanoparticles. And by messing with manipulating the polarity, the electrical charges of different things that you inject into the body, you can increase or decrease the likelihood that that particular thing will be absorbed into the cell. So it's not just the mRNA piece. We've been working, scientists have been working on mRNA technology for a couple of decades now. The issue is they have never been able to do it safely. It's not because they haven't tried. These things have been tried in the past, and it failed miserably. And I believe fully that part of the massive COVID vaccination program was, as I said, to try to normalize or mainstream into the household vernacular the idea that mRNA was safe and effective, and therefore you should accept it when they try to roll it out as a cancer therapy or as a way to cure autism or whatever else it is that they have in mind.
All right, I've got a question.
Just
go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
So think about this, Jan. There's a couple of other things I think at play this week. One is, we know now that people are throwing away vaccines worldwide because people won't take it. I mean, there's countries that won't do a booster because they know another booster means that Omicron becomes more likely to infect people. I mean, there's higher infection rates after you've had these boosters. So they're throwing away vaccines. So what's a good way to get people distracted? Well, let's tell everybody we're going to cure cancer, and let's tell everybody that it has something to do with the value of this mRNA vaccine process. So now, like Kelly said, it more normalizes it, but it may also push people to say, hey, look, if this stuff is that good, maybe I should get vaccinated so I have it
good
in my
point.
System to prevent cancer.
Great
right?
point.
Which
is All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Steve House, Dr. Kelly Victory. All right, Dr. Kelly, this one came in just now. It's an article basically that's been put out by PBS, and a listener wants to know your thoughts on this. If you're not vaccinated, the virus replicates and there's more chances for mutation. The more mutations of COVID that arise, the more likely is that the existing vaccines will become less effective. When you get vaccinated, you're not just doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your family, your peers, your community. As long as the virus can find a host and someone to replicate in it, it will keep going. Not to mention, if you catch COVID, the odds of being hospitalized or dying reduces drastically. In that same vein, hospitals, ERs, and ICUs are being overwhelmed by unvaccinated COVID patients, which affects everyone else seeking medical care. Blah, 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 blah. I won't even read the rest because I'm already getting sick.
No, and actually it is fails at even the most rudimentary understanding of virology, unfortunately. It's actually non-sterilizing vaccines, a vaccine that doesn't result in you being immune from the virus, that results in an increase in mutations. Viruses mutate, John. All viruses mutate, regardless of what we do. That's the nature of viruses. The problem with these particular vaccines, though, being non-sterilizing, is they put what we call selective pressure on the virus to mutate in ways that it might not otherwise mutate. The normal transition from a virus as it mutates is to do two things: become more contagious but less virulent. These vaccines are putting pressure on the virus. They're allowing, it's akin to another example I might use is, you know why when you get written a prescription for antibiotics, you're told, and we tell patients, take the entire course of it. Don't just take 2 days and stop because you start to feel better. Because what you've done then when you take just 2 days of a 10-day course of antibiotics is you kill off some of the bacteria, but then you allow the ones that didn't get killed in the first couple of days, they become stronger and develop resistance to that antibiotic. That's how bacteria develops antibiotic resistance, by not fully killing it off. It finds a way to get around it. It says, now I know how to be, you know, not as if they actually think I'm being, you know, right. I'd be trying to be an example that they find a way around that. That cure around that antibiotic. Same thing happens with the vaccines. The fact that people are vaccinated with a non-sterilizing vaccine is allowing the virus to mutate more quickly and to evade vaccination.
And we're seeing that, by the way. So that what you just said is very factual because the data is showing that.
Exactly. I was going to say, this is the data do not lie. This is not my opinion. This is not some conceptual idea. This is borne out by the data, and we're seeing it all over the world. Look at places like Israel, the most vaccinated country on the planet, which every day wins the award for the most cases, new cases of COVID in the world. The more vaccines you give, the more you are going to have massive upticks in cases because the vaccinated are actually at higher risk. There's negative efficacy from the vaccines against Omicron, meaning you are more likely to contract it if you are twice vaccinated and even more vaccinated if you're boosted.
Right. Steve, have you ever seen in our lifetime, and really I'm going to answer that texter back on that last comment from NPR, and I just did. It's pure propaganda. I don't know how else to say it. That is exactly what it is. It is sending out literally what the narrative on that side wants it to be, when in fact it is not factual. Have you ever seen this happen before, Steve?
Not like this, for sure. I mean, I think it's got to be hard to write an article today like that, or to have a news report like that, because there's so much contradictory evidence to what we're talking about here. I mean, you know, people have talked about viruses mutating for years, like Kelly said. We know that the data in Israel and Germany and some of the most, you know, transparent countries in the world, even Australia has been very transparent. The transparency tells us that vaccinated people right now make up more than half in many cases. In fact, I looked at several counties in Ohio this week, where it's more than half of the people who are hospitalized are vaccinated people who have COVID in the hospital. So I don't know how people can write those articles and feel good about themselves.
I don't either. Dr. Kelly, question just came in. Good one, by the way. I know we've answered this in the past, but there's a lot of folks that tune in for the first time, you know, on a weekly basis. If you got the J&J shot several months ago or, you know, a while back, and then got COVID 3 months later, is natural immunity still there, or is that shot taking that away?
No, it is a good question, and obviously we haven't had adequate time to fully study it, but you have every reason to believe that if you got COVID following vaccination, that you still are developing natural immunity.
Okay.
We can't say with certainty what level it will be. Will you have the same number of antibodies, the same strength of antibodies? But if you developed COVID after being vaccinated, you will still mount an antibody response and will still end up with T cell or memory of that. So yes, you are still developing natural immunity. I might also add, by the way, on the vaccination issue, there are countries more and more on a daily basis that are stopping the vaccination program entirely.
Correct.
The entire UK, okay, Ireland, England, Wales, they've all dropped
Denmark.
The vaccine mandate. Denmark entirely. Denmark, and my gosh, the Scandinavian countries put a moratorium on vaccines for anybody under the age of 30 months ago,
right,
based not only on the inefficacy of the vaccines, but on the mounting and alarming number of adverse events that were happening. So the United States is way behind the eight ball. You know, we normally lead the pack. We normally set the standard for what's going on, and people, other countries around the globe normally follow us. It's really embarrassing and an indictment of this pandemic response that other countries are looking and go, don't do what they're doing in the U.S. It's going to be a disaster and stop.
Steve, do you feel like
John, go ahead. It's even worse than that, right? Kelly's right. I mean, that sounds horrible, right? But we're firing people in the military when we have a potential conflict in the Ukraine with Russia. We have issues with the Chinese and everything else that's going on. So why are we saying that you cannot be in our military unless you're vaccinated when other countries won't even let you be vaccinated? And, oh, by the way, we now have Pfizer looking for an under-5 approval on vaccines for under-5-year-old kids. This is insane.
It really is, and that was going to be one of our questions that came in as well. But before we move on to that under-5-year-old, Steve, again, you have to ask yourself, at least I do, just common sense businessman approach to this. I have to look at this and say, okay, Dr. Kelly is correct. Normally, we're a country that is way ahead of everybody else on how things are done. Yes, we truly are. What I see here, though, is not only the money side, which I know is big. You have to keep asking your question, you know, what is really going on here underlying with all of this? And I will say the money, though, is huge, Steve. You know this as well as anybody. On the pharmaceutical side, given the fact that we are the leader of the manufacturing of said vaccines, you know, is that not part of the reason why we continue to push these things so hard like we are, and really even trying to get other countries to follow suit? Is that not part of what we're doing here?
I would think so, but at the same time, I mean, the use of the vaccines is going down worldwide. Maybe they're trying to get us to lead the rest of the world back to vaccines, but then the president making this comment about mRNA only leads me to believe that they're going to go a different direction because they know these vaccines are not working. In fact, they're making it worse.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about under five. So, Steve, you can start that conversation. Dr. Kelly, chime in as well.
She had a comment she wanted to make.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Kelly.
I just wanted to make a comment about the money aspect. Forbes magazine did an article probably 4 or 5 months ago, John, saying that the pandemic has made multiple, you know, billionaires. The 40 top people who became billionaires during the pandemic, of the 40, 10 of them were vaccine manufacturers.
Yep. Yep. And by the way, there's data to back up everything we're saying. So again, folks, those of you that are listening, I realize that in a lot of cases we're preaching to the choir. But guys, I also know this. I talked about this yesterday. And used to be Dr. Kelly and Steve, both when you guys were on, I would get comments back, either text, email, or even some folks that would even call in the day after and talk about how bad we were. You know, folks on the left, when you know, even doctors and nurses would call in and talk about how we were misleading people and how could we do this. And I will tell you, in the last 8 weeks or so, it has been total crickets. I haven't gotten a single text message. I haven't gotten a single email. And I can tell you right now, they're all still listening, guys. That part hasn't changed. You have to wonder, Dr. Kelly, does the other side just not see the same things that we're seeing? Are they just in total denial?
I think more and more people are starting to see it. There's a group of people who will never see it. You know, if you really, you know, we should do a whole show talking about the mass formation psychosis, you know, there's the 30% who are never going to see it.
True.
What I am hoping is that, and then there are 30% who've always seen it. It was the 40% in the middle that didn't know which way to go. And I am hopeful that the 40% in the middle are starting to believe what they see in front of their eyes, the actual facts, what is happening, rather than listening to the propaganda that they've been fed from the beginning of this thing. When you start seeing, people are starting to know people who've had a vaccine injury. You know, now that the, for example, the Department of Defense data is coming into the public eye, people are starting to see that. So you're always going to have that 30% who just willingly go along and say, no, I must believe what the government tells me. I, you know, because that's the only way I feel safe and secure in my life is to believe my government. But I am hopeful that we are starting to wake up with the 40% in the middle who have been complacent during the early part, but are now saying, wow, something is going on here.
Steve, let's switch gears. And I know Dr. Kelly just said a moment ago about the DOD data, and it was one of the things we were texting about even earlier this week. Let's get into that. Talk about, and you can start the conversation, really what's coming out now of the Department of Defense. And it's not being made very public, by the way, so a lot of you listening may very well hear this for the first time and only time right here. You may not read about it anywhere else. Am I right, Steve?
Yeah, you may not read about it. I mean, frankly, Kelly tried to post it on Twitter, and she got banned from Twitter for life, along with Donald Trump and a few others who've had that happen, because, you know, she actually posted data from testimony from the DOD doctors talking about major problems with things like cancer and neurology problems and other issues associated with them getting vaccinated. It's effectively, you know, the DOD system is probably a little bit more accurate than the VAERS system is, but I'm not so sure it's any more real accurate just because I think VAERS system is giving us the right data. The problem is when the Department of Defense does it, they're dealing with a fairly young population of people in the military who have been vaccinated, who they have complete control over what goes on to them medically because they have to be treated in DOD facilities by DOD doctors. It's not like this is a group of people that are rogue out there reporting symptoms that they don't really have. I mean, it's very, very accurate data, and it's ridiculous. Between that and the fact that we found out lockdowns didn't work at all, all they did was do damage.
Right.
This is the week where I don't know how the people who are opposed to, you know, making a risk decision yourself and who are demanding vaccination or jail time, I don't know where they're coming from.
Dr. Kelly, when we talk about the DOD data as well, I think we also need to remind folks that I get the DOD looks at a lot of different patients and age groups and so on, but by and large, the majority of their data, because the majority of folks that they're actually, you know, talking about in these studies are enlisted individuals or the families of enlisted individuals. In other words, we're not talking about 75-year-old veterans that the DOD is talking about in these studies and what's coming back with the vaccines. These are young, healthy people, right, Dr. Kelly?
Yes, let me clarify some of this. First of all, the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and the military system are very, very different.
Yeah, they're not the
this
same.
This data that I'm talking this data that I'm talking about that came out last week at Senator Ron Johnson's hearing called COVID Second Opinion came from DMED, the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. This was a database, DMED, that was created by the U.S. government specifically to be an early warning system for our military so that we would be alerted if something was going on medically with our troops. If all of a sudden they started having allergic reactions or gastrointestinal problems or heart attacks, if someone was trying to poison them, if they were being exposed to anthrax, we would know immediately because of this DMED system.
Okay, right, now I'm going to stop for a second, Dr. Kelly. I'm assuming that's because for the Department of Defense, the defense of the country, we want to make sure that our men and women that are in our service, that are in, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, all that, we want to make sure that they are the best they can be. And if there's anything that's going to adversely affect them, we want to know right off the bat. Am I right in saying it that way?
That is precisely correct. So what happened was these three career military physicians believed, who are treating patients in 2021, thought that they were seeing way more higher incidence of certain things, heart attacks, strokes, miscarriages, blood clots to the lung. Rather than simply, you know, crying foul, they actually took the time to go back to the database, and they did a five-year average looking at 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20, which included, by the way, 2020, which is a full year of the pandemic.
Right.
And they looked at the average incidence on a yearly basis of things like miscarriage, neurologic problems, Bell's palsy, blood clots to the lung, cancers. And they compared that average to the average they saw in 2021. And lo and behold, they saw a 300% increase in cancers,
wow,
a 470% increase in pulmonary embolisms, 270% increase in heart attacks, and on and on and on. So they simply said, look, we don't know, you can't say with certainty what is causing this, but something very, very bad is happening. And to be clear to the people listening, when I say a 300% increase in cancers, I don't mean from one case a year to four cases. What they saw was the average was 38,000 cases a year for those 5 years before that. 38,000 went up to 122,000 cases.
Wow.
Okay, so they said something is going on. Maybe it was climate change. I don't know. Maybe it was the stress of the lockdown. Maybe it was wearing masks. Or maybe it was vaccines. But we are obligated to look at this and to investigate. That is what science is, John.
Yeah.
Science is not a randomized control study that's in a peer-reviewed journal. Science is when doctors and scientists go, wow, look at that pattern. Something is going on here.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
We better investigate this.
That's
and
right.
I simply, as I said, trying to post that on Twitter earned me a lifetime ban.
So, Kelly, you're forgetting the obvious thing you have to do when you have that kind of data, right? You have to actually then go start firing people for not being vaccinated, trying to force them to be vaccinated. You know, maybe to prove that the data is wrong. You also have a United States of America right now where between 18 and 64 in 2021, there was a 40% increase in all-cause mortality. We don't know why that happened either.
That's right. That's right.
We know it wasn't COVID. COVID only was a small fraction of that.
That's right.
Right, exactly. And so these are the sorts of things when you say, you know, why are you not hearing the negative comments right now? I believe that although the mainstream media is doing everything they can to suppress this information, the reality is it's coming out, it's leaking out from all around the world.
Yes.
And people have got to say something very strange is going on, something very bad is going on, and we're seeing an enormous increase in all-cause deaths, and it requires us to rigorously investigate it.
I agree. Before we take our break, Dr. Kelly, somebody's asking, and maybe you can explain this as soon as we come back, but explain the heart problems in young men, especially when it comes to the vaccines and myocarditis and so on. So if you would, think about that. We'll talk about that just as soon as we come back.
You're listening to Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
All right, we are back. Dr. Kelly Victory, Steve House with us as well. Okay, Dr. Kelly, please explain to those listening what these heart problems are. And I know a little bit about this, but I'm not a doctor like you are. Please explain what happens and I know not all cases, but some cases.
Well, just to explain, myocarditis simply is the medical term for inflammation of the heart muscle.
Right, it enlarges, right?
It causes inflammation, and it can cause it to enlarge. It can cause it to beat erratically. It can cause it to beat inefficiently. And pericarditis, the pericardium, is simply the sac that surrounds the heart. So pericarditis is inflammation of that surrounding sac, which, again, can then become scarred and cause the heart to not be able to function correctly.
Okay.
The fact that there is absolutely, unequivocally, an increase, alarming increase in cases of myocarditis and pericarditis following vaccination, particularly in younger males, meaning males between the ages of 12 and probably about 30. There's no question that it is related to the spike protein. And the reason we know that is because there is a risk and an increased risk of both pericarditis and myocarditis from COVID itself, particularly in that age group, although the vaccinations seem to bring it on much more quickly and much more vigorously. Interestingly, the FDA just, people may not know this, the FDA just decided inexplicably to approve the one version of Moderna's vaccination, just like they had previously FDA approved Comirnaty, one version of Pfizer's. They made this FDA approval, but then just yesterday, actually overnight, took down a report, a document that was on the FDA website explaining how they came to the conclusion that they should FDA approve Moderna's shot. And that document, interestingly, referenced a non-published study that showed that they had found even higher incidence of pericarditis and myocarditis related to vaccines than they had previously thought. This is the basis for which many countries, as I said, all of the Scandinavian countries, put a moratorium on these shots in anybody under the age of 30, because the risk of this inflammation of the heart muscle far outweighs any possible benefit that people would have from in those age groups from the vaccine itself, because their underlying risk of having a bad outcome from COVID is very, very low if there are people under the age of 30. Pericarditis and myocarditis are not benign processes. 96% of the people who ended up getting myocarditis from the vaccines ended up in the hospital. Even if they were discharged, that ongoing, that inflammation does heart damage.
Okay.
People can end up on the transplant list. Mortality rates, a five-year mortality rate with a rip-roaring case of myocarditis is something at like 40-some percent, 5 years.
Wow.
You've taken somebody who was healthy,
wow,
given them a shot for something from which they had zero risk, and now given them a life sentence because of heart issues. I mean, this is a really serious problem.
Yep.
Furthermore, we know that for everybody who actually ends up in the hospital or has chest pain or has what we call symptomatic myocarditis, symptomatic inflammation, how many people do you think are out there who are having what we would call subclinical issues, meaning they aren't having actual signs and symptoms, but if you did a blood test to look at the blood markers of heart inflammation, I can pretty much guarantee you we would have millions of people who have subclinical myocarditis and pericarditis, meaning they have inflammation of the heart muscle.
Yep.
It just isn't bad enough that they actually are suffering from things like shortness of breath or chest pain, difficulty with exercise, and those sorts of things.
All right, so
yeah, John,
go ahead,
John, you had, you know, the at least the latest count I saw was somewhere around 183 highly talented, maybe world-class athletes across the continent of Europe that have had suffered this,
yep,
fate that Kelly's talking about. Unproven, of course, or you can't put it on Twitter because they would kick,
right,
you off. But,
right,
you know, these guys are dropping like flies over there. Some of them have died. Some of them are just not able to play and may not be able to play for a long time. I think that's why you take a guy like Novak Djokovic, who didn't play in the Australian Open because he didn't want to be vaccinated. He fits the profile, right? I mean,
yep,
why would you do this to yourself when you have such a low risk from perishing from the virus itself?
You don't need to. A question came in, too, by the way, for along these lines of the hard sides of things, Dr. Kelly. Does Regeneron change, or, you know, can it damage your heart? And if so, will your heart recover from that?
I have not seen any indication that Regeneron, which you're talking about, monoclonal antibodies.
Right.
That was the first version of monoclonal antibodies that got rolled out. I've seen zero evidence that Regeneron would in any way, or any subsequent form of monoclonal antibodies, would cause cardiac damage. I have not seen that.
Okay, so that answers that one. Good answer, by the way. Let's see, one more. Okay, so all of you asking where we can get these facts and figures and so on. Producer Ann, we've already been texting back and forth between Dr. Kelly and Steve. We will put all of the links to the data that we're talking about right now. Producer Ann's going to do a blog post. We'll put it on several different sites, including our website. So for everybody listening that's asking that question, we will have those up probably later this evening. But again, you know, Producer Ann has other things she does besides all of this just for me. So we will get that information up, and Dr. Kelly's going to send some of that to us. So it may take us, you know, what, guys, morning or so. So, you know, if you don't see it by tonight, we'll have it by tomorrow morning for sure. But Dr. Kelly, thank you for doing all of that as well. I appreciate it.
Sure. And I feel obligated to say, as I do on pretty much every show, John, you know this about me. I am not anti-vaccine.
No, not at all.
I am very pro-vaccine. I have written and spoken prolifically during my career on the importance of vaccination. I have a background, strong background in public health. I've spent much of my career doing public health, and vaccinations are part of that. My issue is with these vaccines.
Right.
They were not adequately tested. They did not undergo the rigorous type of studies to give us any degree of comfort that they are actually, quote, safe and effective. Well, actually, we know they aren't effective. The question is whether they're even safe. And I think based on the data we are seeing from all around the world, it is absolutely clear that not only are they not effective, but they aren't safe.
Steve, going to switch to you real quick because I want to go to the political side for just one moment. Oregon, their Department of Health up there is making a mask mandate now for all school districts where they've got to continue to do this until they retract that. It's not an option. It's something they're doing on a statewide. In other words, they didn't end the mask mandate. They actually made it tighter and made it worse. I got to think, Steve, at some point politically, this is not helping the other side. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, no, it's definitely not. I mean, you know, that's why I think that you're going to see a series of distractions regarding it. Some of the states that are blue states, you know, have actually stepped away from some of the mandates themselves because they know the people are just, they've just had it. And, you know, the Kate Brown in Oregon is one of the most liberal governors in the entire country.
Yep.
She does not care what the people think. She governs in that way. And quite frankly, it's not going to work for her in the long run, except for Oregon is so blue. You know, as long as she wins the nomination, she'll always be the governor there. But that's part of the problem. I had a question back to Kelly and you both, which is, if you look at the definition of what a vaccine is, it says it's supposed to stimulate the production of antibodies. It does that. And provide immunity against one or more several diseases. I think there's a convenience in calling this mRNA stuff a vaccine, but I'm not sure it qualifies under the definition. Hmm. And maybe somebody should stop at this point.
But interesting, you should bring that up. Actually, if you go to now to the CDC's website, Steve, you're giving the definition, the one that we lived with for the past, I don't know, 100 years. About 2 months ago, the CDC and the World Health Organization changed the definition of vaccine.
That's right.
Is no longer defined as something that causes the person to develop, quote, immunity. They changed it to decreases the risk of severe illness.
Yep.
Changed the definition.
Conveniently changed it to that, by the way.
This is as corrupt as it gets, in the same way as in November of 2020, the CDC and the World Health Organization changed the definition of herd immunity. Herd immunity for 100 years was defined as a combination of people who are immunized against an illness in addition to those people who have had and recovered from the disease. They changed it in mid-November 2020. They changed the definition of herd immunity to say it is comprised of people who are immunized against an illness. This is fraud.
Yeah.
This is pure propaganda. You do not change the definition, the long-standing definition of things like vaccine, because you are absolutely correct, Steve, based on the definition we all grew up with and that they taught in medical school until about 15 minutes ago, these shots do not qualify as vaccines.
Guys, you get the last word, Steve. I got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thank God the fraud is only limited to those couple things that we've seen regarding this pandemic, John.
Just that. Guys, Dr. Kelly Victory, Steve, I appreciate both of you so much. This hour flies by. It's why there's times where I will literally combine 2 or 3 hours and we rerun those because the information is just so valuable. Again, folks, we'll have a blog post up on this on the website later, rushtoreason.com. Dr. Kelly Victory, Steve, thank you both very much.